one day.
Grace and peace be unto you. A very blessed day, good morning, and welcome to the Because He Lives program. I want to say thanks to you, our loyal listeners, who've been with us for several years now and who have been so wonderful in your patronage of this program. I want to give God thanks for you and for the way how you've encouraged us. Let me also acknowledge our sponsors, fellow Motor Spirits, for their kindness over the years in sponsoring this program. Before I share with you the speaker for this morning, I want to just give you two very quick announcements. The first one, next Sunday morning, October the 13th at 9:30, will be our district family service at the Calmerot Church of the Nazarene. We're looking forward to an exciting time, and I want to challenge you to be there, Nazarenes and non-Nazarenes. As you know, we are moving toward our centennial, and we are going to have, I'm told, the first hearing of the centennial jingle. So I want you to be there to experience that very important moment next Sunday morning when they will unveil the centennial jingle. As you know, 100 years is a long time, and the year 2026 will be our centennial year. And so we're building up to that wonderful time of celebration because, as you would imagine, God has indeed been so good to us over the last 100 years, and we want to be able to give Him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. So come out, come to Church of Nazarene next Sunday morning, 9:30, for our district family service. Also, I want to inform you of the Eversy Foundation. They will be having a special luncheon on November the 3rd at the Coconut Court Hotel. The price of lunch for an adult is just $100, and for children is half of that, $50. And so put aside your funds and, you know, make a date, November the 3rd, and be there to support the Eversy Foundation. As you would know, the Reverend Doctors Schofield and Margaret Eversley, they've been the backbone of our church for several years, both the local church here in Barbados as well as the regional church by way of the college in Trinidad. And they've also had an international presence. And so we want to support them as we've established this foundation in their honor, a foundation that is tasked with the responsibility of promoting the gospel in communities. And so I really want to challenge each one of you to be present at that special fundraising luncheon. Well, October is the month where we celebrate Our Lady, those wonderful laymen and lay ladies who are so critical in the function of our church. And so this morning, to get the ball rolling, will be Brother John Bino. He hails from the Ruby Church of the Nazarene, and John is the husband of Joanne Bino and the father of two young men and one young lady. I'm told that John also is the doting grandfather of four. So John is well on his way. He's also the men's fellowship president of the Ruby Church of the Nazarene. And I'm told that John is very, very passionate about issues concerning men. And so this morning, I want to present to you Brother John Bino, wonderful man of God, a dear friend of mine, to you as he will share what God has laid on his heart. Please receive our brother, the Brother John Bino.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ on this radio station and on this program sponsored by the Nazarene Church of Barbados. My prayer this morning is that I read God's word and that I share what the Holy Spirit would have me to share, that some soul or souls will be encouraged to surrender their lives to God. I want, as I use the Word of God, that we not only hear the Word of God, but that we might be doers of the Word of God and believers of the Word of God. And this morning, I want, for my base scripture, to look at John's Gospel. And I'm going to read it from chapter 16, verse 25 till verse 33. And I'm reading from the Modern King James Version. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. He is saying, verse 25, "I've spoken these things to you in parables, but the time is coming when I shall no more speak to you in parables, but I will show you plainly of the Father. And at that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came forth from the Father, and I have come into the world. And again I leave the world and go to the Father. The disciples said to him, Lo, you speak plainly and speak no parable. Now we know that you know all things. I do not need that anyone should ask you. But this we believe, that you came from the Father. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes, yea, has now come, that you will be scattered, every man to his own things. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have spoken these things to you, that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Father, I want to thank you for your blessings, and I pray this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, my Lord and Savior. This is a wonderful passage, but we need to recognize that God is speaking to us, and Jesus was speaking to his disciples on this whole aspect of peace. And just a couple of questions that I want to ask. I'm asking myself and I'm asking you. Where does my peace come from? Where does your peace come from? Where does our peace come from? I want to let you know this morning, as from God's word. And the same verse, verse 33, he said, I have spoken these things to you that you might have peace in me. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So this peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace is not in my family. The peace is not in my father, my mother. The peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the real peace that he has offered disciples, and he's offering us this morning, because he is our peace. Another scripture that we want to read this morning is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. He says, For he is our peace. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, For he, Jesus, is our peace. He making us both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments and ordinances, so that in himself he might make two into one new man, making peace between them. And so he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity in himself. He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. He himself is our peace. We can rely on him for our peace. And I'm talking about a peace of this world. I'm not talking about a peace that we hear on the different platforms, the different radio stations or different television stations that the world is talking about. I'm talking about a peace that God gives each and every one of his children, us as believers. He is our peace. And what he has done, according to the Apostle Paul, that in dying on the Calvary, he made peace for us with God. So therefore, because he died, because he took our place, he now is our peace. He has made this peace and made us one with God. He has abolished in the flesh the enmity, the law of the commandments and ordinances, so that in himself we might have that peace. Bring the 21. So it's looking to Jesus that we have our peace, not in the commandments, not in even obeying all that he said to us, but in him himself. He is our peace. And through him, we have access to the Father. And the Father accepts us because Jesus Christ himself is our peace. And we need to remember that even when we live in this life, we will have persecution. Amidst or in the middle of what's going on in the world today, we will have tribulations. We will be persecuted. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says, Yea, And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You know, in the Western world, we have not really seen a lot of persecution. In this Western world we live in, we have not seen a lot of persecution like we see in the Eastern countries. But we can have persecution in our minds. We can have persecution in our spirits as the enemy of our souls brings everything, so much things in our lives. And we have disappointments, and our friends and our family even disappoints us. But we can have peace because this peace is not the peace that is external that God has given us. This peace is internal through the Holy Spirit, which dwells in every one of us who are believers. Yes, we will have persecution. Once we desire to live for the Lord, we will have persecution. Once you desire to walk godly, you will have persecution. So the latter verse, even in Ephesians, reminds us that we can be of good cheer because God has overcome this world. No matter what we have done, no matter what is going on in the world today, we can have this peace because Jesus himself says that we can be of good cheer because he have overcome the world. And I just also want to look at another scripture as we think about this peace. And we look at Romans chapter 8, and it says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep of slaughter. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Apostle Paul going on here, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things come, nor things present, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And it's really, really good to note that the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, that he was saying to the believers there, in all the persecution that might be going through, and he was saying that for your sake, we are killed all the day long. Every day, we go through so many different trials. We go through so many different testings. We are like sheep counted as slaughter, lined up as it were to receive the wiles of the enemy. And the Apostle Paul even reminds us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. He reminds us that we are persecuted every day, and all but we need to recognize that God is for us. And the apostle again, he says, we are counted as sheep to the slaughter, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How can we be conquerors in the midst of persecution? How can we be conquerors in the midst of all the things that are going on in the world today? Within the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing about all the killings in Barbados, the shootings. And sad to say, within the last couple of days, school has all only opened for at least 2 weeks. And we are hearing about the different aspects of violence that are going on in our schools. And it's not only in our secondary school, but it's in our primary schools. And we could recognize that we are in the last days. The Bible reminds us that we will have rumors of wars. The Bible reminds us that we will have earthquakes in diverse places, different places. And only last week we had an earthquake off the north of Barbados. And we need to recognize that it's saying to us that the world is soon coming. But even more, as believers, we rejoice because we are recognizing that Jesus is coming soon. In all these things, no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what is happening in every situation, we can rejoice because God has reminded us through the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans that in everything we are more than conquerors. Not in ourselves, not in our families, not even in our church, not even in our pastors. It says, but in all these things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through who? Through him, that is Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us. And in loving us, he did not just love us and say he loved us, but he loved us and he did something for it. He loved us and he gave himself for us. And we can be persuaded this morning. Are you persuaded? Yet in all things, we can be persuaded. Yet in all things, the persecution, the trials, we can be persuaded. Yet in all things, the testing, we are more than conquerors, yes. Through him, that is Jesus Christ, who loved us, who gave us peace. And he preached peace. And the Apostle Paul keeps reminding us that no matter what happens, he's saying, I am persuaded. And sometimes you might think that we can hold on to the short tails of all these apostles. God has used them in a mighty way. But we need to reach the point in our lives where we can say without a shadow of a doubt, from our hearts, in our heads, from our souls, that I too am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our peace. He is the one who not only gave us peace, he is the one who preached peace, and this peace is Jesus himself. He said you might have peace, and we can answer these questions that I asked at the beginning of this message. Where does my peace come from? And I hope this morning you can answer the question without a shadow of a doubt. My peace comes from Jesus because he has given us peace, and he is peace itself. He is the source of peace. I don't rely on the things that are happening around me. I rely on Jesus, and Jesus is alone. He is our peace. In Christ alone, I have this peace. He preached peace, and through him, we have access to the Father. And this peace that he was sharing with disciples in terms of having access to the Father is a peace that we could not achieve by ourselves because of our sinful state. But God himself loved us so much that sent his Son, and his Son Jesus was willing to leave heaven's portals and come to this sin-cursed earth to die for us and make peace between ourselves and God. And when we look to the cross, when we look to Jesus, we can see God accepting this sacrifice so that we might have peace. The Lord Jesus Christ was that middle wall. He broke down the ordinances, as the scripture said. He broke down everything that was stopping us from going straight to God. He said to the disciples, you know, I will no longer speak to you in parables. He said to them that you can talk to God for yourself. And they understood that. And they recognized, they thanked Jesus for not keeping things hidden anymore. And I pray this morning in this short message that I've been asked to share, that you would recognize that you can have peace and you can walk in peace. In this world, we will have tribulation. In this world, we will be persecuted. As Timothy says, yea, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. None of us would like to be persecuted. We like to walk in peace. We like to walk in joy. We like to be able to walk the streets. And we thank God for our little island Barbados that we can still walk in the streets without the persecution that we read about, without the persecution that we might hear about, without persecution that is on our televisions and our radios. We thank God for little Barbados, but little Barbados is getting to a point where we will see persecution of the believers. So let us this morning, as we think of all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ, all that Jesus Christ has done on Calvary, all that he surrendered for us, help us to bear in mind that he is the one who is our peace. For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. God loves us this morning. God loves you. God loves me. And I want to thank him for loving me. I want to thank him for loving the world. I want to thank him for loving us. Because if he didn't love us, I'm sure, like me, you didn't know where you would be today. But God has loved us. He has sent his Son, and his Son was obedient to death. His Son was obedient, and his Son not only gave his life, But his son surrendered all and asked the Father for forgiveness, and he forgave us. So I pray that this word might speak to you as it spoke to me. And I pray that in all this, you might recognize how what a wonderful God we serve. God bless you this morning. I pray that you might have a wonderful day, a wonderful Sunday. And may we always remember that God has given us his peace. And the only way we can tap into that peace is by accepting the ultimate sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who gave his life for you and me. And not only that, I'm sure that you will experience that peace through God's Holy Spirit, which would come and live in your life. So, Father, I thank you for this word. I pray for those who listened to it. I pray that hearts might be changed this morning. They might accept the fact that you have sent your son to be our peace, and he is our peace, and we can rejoice in his goodness. So I thank you, and I praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray a wonderful day on all of you. God bless. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. My life is worth the living just because